Good to see you, man. We're going to be in chapter 3, am I correct?
Yes, you are.
We got through 5 verses, but we did finish up chapter 2 last week. Am I right?
You are right.
So we will pray, then we will reread just the first 5 verses because the context here is very important. Right?
Yes, always.
And just to start in chapter 6, with, you know, maybe somebody wasn't here last week, but we really need to understand the context of what's going on. Verse 6, thank you. Verse 6, man, it's huge. It is huge. It is pivotal.
So.
Very, very, it changed everything.
But that was the plan. Man.
Is there any change in this world that is equivalent to that change?
No, I don't think so.
You mean Jesus?
Jesus!
What?
That's different. Yeah.
Is it different?
Yeah, I do. I think it's different.
Okay.
Jesus is sinless.
I'm not talking about Jesus. I said, is there an event? And that event, if we lost life there, is when we gain life through our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ.
That's
a life changing.
Yeah, I'm talking about mankind.
Very pivotal. You know, when you weigh the circumstances and the consequences on both sides, right?
Well, when you got the 180 and you got the other 180 back.
Yes, yes, we're going to talk about that too because you know God knows everything, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So any of this that we're reading, did He go, should have thought of that?
No,
he's omniscient, man. He does know everything.
He knows.
Got a plan.
He
all right. You ready to pray? Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and man, you are an awesome God. We just thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity when we woke up, Lord. Hopefully, we all prayed to you this morning before we left the house. And Lord, I thank you for the prayer team in the prayer room this morning. And Lord, I just ask you to remember those names on the board and remember Don and his family this morning, Lord, as they face a difficult situation as well. And Lord, we're here just to honor you. We're here to bring you honor and glory. We're here to open up your book, Lord, so that you can speak to us not only individually but corporately as well. So that's what we ask. That's what we expect, Lord. That's what our hope is. Just know we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So chapter 3, this is what we're going to be talking about, man's temptation and, of course, man's fall. But also, there's 3 curses in this chapter, as well as an eviction notice.
Yep.
Anybody ever got an eviction notice?
No.
Really? I'm the only one? Really? Boy, in my day. Don, you've never got an eviction notice?
Thankfully. Well, ask me about a year and a half.
Man, that's hard to believe. I'm the only one in here that's ever had an eviction notice. I've had a couple.
You can ask that again on the church time, and you may get some
more.
There's not very many people here.
Oh, my goodness. Morning, Jan.
Morning, everybody.
Good to see you this morning. All right, we'll just read through verses 1 through 5 just to keep it in context. And the first thing we're going to see is the serpent begins his temptation. Now, the serpent was more cunning or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. You follow me? Remember, we talked about that. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And then Eve replied to the serpent. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And of course, that's not what God said. Am I right? And then we'll see in verse 4 and 5, and what we see here is Satan's direct challenge to the Word of God. And we talked about that, how important that is, because that's one of the ways that Satan gets a foothold in your and my life. Amen? And it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Amen?
Heavy temptation.
It's heavy.
And here comes the fall.
Oh, so here we go, man. The sin of Adam and Eve and the fall of the entire human race wrapped up in just a sentence. The world, yeah. Yeah. And what we'll see here is Adam and Eve both disobey God in their own way. Am I right? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Wow. Amen? You know, what happens here is exactly the way John describes it to us in 1 John 2:16, and I want to read that to you. And it says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Amen? So first, what did Eve give into? The lust of the flesh. She saw that it was good for food. Now, why am I going over these? Because I want you to know this is the enemy's plan. This is his plan against you. He's always had this plan. This is the same plan. It has not deviated. He always seeks you and tries to get you with these three structured temptations. Thank you. Yeah. So first she gave him the lust of the flesh. She saw that it was good for food. Anybody ever look at something and say, man, I wish I had that? Come on. You women in shoes.
And men in cars and RVs.
Then she gave in to the lust of the eyes because she saw it was pleasant to the eyes. Do you see this here? Lust of the flesh, right?
Wouldn't it be the lust of the eyes first?
It could be. Oh, okay. You don't have to put these in any particular order, man. You know, because for you it may be a different order. Because there are some very prideful people who would probably their life would be best described with the last one, leading first. Amen? Then she gave in to the pride of life. Desirable to make one wise. Amen? You know, I heard something this morning. It's pretty good. Don, would you repeat that this morning?
I am both smarter and dumber than you think. Don't underestimate me.
I am both smarter and dumber than you think. Don't underestimate me. In other words, I can do some pretty smart things, but don't even think for a minute I can't do something pretty dang stupid. Right?
Yep.
Double threat. So let me ask you, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, we know the story of Jesus, and he was taken out into the wilderness, and he was tempted for how long? 40 days and 40 nights, right? And I wonder who tempted him?
The devil.
The devil himself. And you know what? Do you know what he used?
The same three things.
You know why?
Because it works.
Because it works. It works, man. And I'll be honest with you, he's the only one it ain't worked on.
Yep.
Well, That's it. It's worked on you. It's worked on me. It will work on me again. Yeah. And it will work on you again.
Let me tell you, if I had those kind of percentages, I'd do the same thing. I'd use them.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
If you got all but one.
Yeah. I mean, look, he brought, with that process, he brought down the entire human race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think around, yes. You know, if you've ever been around a very small child, right, toddler, we are selfish innately.
Oh, yeah.
We are born selfish.
Mine.
Jet flash, eyes, and pride. Like, yep. I want me. Yep. I want to eat it. I. Like, it's not that these things come to
us.
We're born that way.
And, you know, one of the first things, you know, when we commit ourselves to God and trust Jesus, our Lord and Savior, one of the first things he really wants us to understand that from that point forward is it's not about us anymore.
Yeah.
Die to yourself.
It's about him, yeah. It's about him, and it's about the gospel. It's about others. And sometimes that's very difficult because we are innately selfish, selfish people. We are. We're born that way. We really are born that way. I don't even remember, you know, back in there, but I'm sure I was a tough kid.
We know.
You know, I want to read a verse for you from 1 Timothy. We went through 1 Timothy not too long ago, 2:14. It says, Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Amen? So Eve was deceived when she sinned, right?
Yep.
I mean, in her mind, don't you kind of get the feeling that she was probably doing something that she thought would be beneficial?
Yes.
in all honesty.
The way it was presented yes. to her, absolutely.
Yeah, something that would be good for her.
Yep. Yeah, but she believed Satan over God.
Huh?
She believed Satan
yes.
over God.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt there's sin and disobedience involved there. But remember, it wasn't actually God who told her that. It was Adam.
Yep.
So she took of its fruit and she ate. This is very important because Satan could tempt Eve, right? The devil could tempt Eve, but she didn't have to take it.
No.
She did not have to take the food, right? The taking, the eating, that was all her doing. Am I right?
Yes.
Did she do that on her own?
That's her choice, yes.
So the devil can't take the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and pride of life and cram it down your throat?
No.
No, he can't do it.
It's a choice.
The way we fall into that is because he presents it in such a beautiful, magnificent, lovely,
attractive,
unresistant, attractive way, right? That we just think we're doing what we should be doing. So would it be fair to say that Eve can't say to God, the devil made me do it?
She could say that.
Yeah.
Won't be true. She does.
The
that.
Devil made me do it. Anybody ever use that line?
We used to as a teenager.
Leave it in your mind, not necessarily in your words, because those are stupid words. I'll just be honest with you. Because the devil can't make you do anything.
Free will.
Free will. All right. Let me ask you this, because this, when I was thinking about this, meditating on these verses. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Is he the God who said, say it again, Della?
He is God and he changes not.
He is God and he changes not. So is it fair to say that from before he started creation until the day that we are with him forever, that he is the same?
Yes.
And he has not changed. Am I right?
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
All right. I want y'all to remember that going through the rest of this chapter. So for every temptation, God has made a way of escape.
Absolutely.
Yes. Am I right? Yep. All right, let's read 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will always leave a way of escape that you may bear up under it.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then when God, when this temptation was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden with the serpent, there was a way out.
Right. Turn around and walk away.
Yes. Yes. Turn around and run. Turn around and walk away. But there was an exit, is the point I'm trying to make. Now, did God know this was going to happen?
Yes.
He did know it was going to happen. Amen? He did know it was going to happen. He knows everything. Yes. All right, so Eve takes the fruit and she eats, right?
Yes.
And then it says, she also gave to her husband who was with her.
With her.
So not only did Eve sin, if you think about it, she also became the agent of temptation for her husband. Hey, honey, boy, this is good.
I'm just wondering where he was when he entered this situation.
Yeah.
At what point did he enter from stage right?
Yeah. I think we can tell, though, by the context here that he was not there initially.
Okay.
I hope.
Can you all see that?
I hope so.
He's not there. The serpent's talking to Eve. He doesn't say anything because I don't believe that he is there at the time. Amen? But she takes it, right? She eats it.
It's a woman.
And there she is. There she is. Yeah, honey. Man, this is good.
This I would good. Agree that he's probably not there at that moment, too, because the enemy's MO is to divide and conquer.
Yes.
Yes, and attack the weakest link in isolation.
He probably told him, no, don't do that, because he knew better.
Maybe.
That's why he said
oh, did he?
Oh. He said he was.
I think it said that she gave it to her husband and he did eat.
Yeah. So did that fruit, I'm assuming, look different? So he would have known, could have known, this is from that tree.
Just assume that because it said he wasn't deceived.
Yes.
Where does it say that?
No, I believe, you know, that this is a, there's a little bit of time that passed, and now both of them are standing in front of the tree together. Okay. So he absolutely knows which tree he's standing in front of.
How much
time? Or which tree he's eating from.
Yes. Yeah.
How much?
Yeah, I have no idea. Nor would I even try to venture a guess.
Yeah.
Enough. Huh?
But if they were told to be fruitful and multiply, why haven't they been fruitful yet?
Because not much time has passed, you would have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
the devil
not
needs
like...
to get to them before they become fruitful and multiply. Otherwise, she's pregnant and there's a third person involved in it who hasn't been born yet.
Well, unfortunately, there will be a third person involved in it. Matter of fact, two twins. Other people, am I right?
Yeah.
Doesn't she have twins or something?
Well, not
twins. No. No twins?
They're not twins.
Okay.
She has more after that.
All right. So Adam ate, but he was not deceived, was he?
No.
He went into this situation with his eyes wide open. So if he knew, because God said, do not eat from this tree, then he went into this not only with his eyes wide open, but he went into it in open disobedience or open rebellion against God, because he knew. He knew absolutely, because God himself, because they walked together in the cool of the day, didn't they?
Yeah.
And God told him himself, hey, don't eat from that tree, man, because the day you do, you will what?
Surely die.
Surely die. That's why it's Adam and not Eve who bears the responsibility for the fall of the human race. But I want you to know, not only did the human race fall right here at this point, but also death was introduced into the world. There was no death up to this point. But from this point on, death would become a part of life. That's just the way it is. Right? Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, who's that one man?
Adam.
And death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Amen? One more, 1 Corinthians 15:22, and I could share several verses with you to this effect. For as in Adam all die, not Eve, but as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So you see a pivotal point here, but there is also a pivotal point later when Jesus does everything that is necessary, including giving his own life, to give us an opportunity to come back to this point. In fact, not to this point, but previous to this, to the point previous to this. You follow me? Because that was paradise, right? Mm-hmm. And where does the Bible say we're going to go? What do you tell the thief on the cross?
Paradise. Today you will be with me.
Today you will be with me in paradise. So Eve was tricked and deceived into sinning or eating, but Adam knew full well what he was doing. You think he got kind of partial to Eve, maybe? The Bible doesn't really say that, but I think he probably did a little bit.
Well,
partial. Huh?
Well, they both made the mistake of submitting to a created being rather than the being who created.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you have to remember, flesh... She was flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Yeah. So, yeah, he was partial to her.
Yeah.
She was part of him.
Yeah, I will call her woman. Woman.
Whoa, man.
Whoa, man. That's right. You'll never be able to unhear that, will you? Whoa, man. Just remember that. All right. So they take of the fruit. She takes of the fruit of the tree. She gives it to her husband. They both ate, right? Then the eyes of both of them were opened. What do you think? They're walking around with their eyes closed up to this point?
No.
No?
Different awareness.
And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Man, everything changed, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, but I want you to really think about something here. Because, now I'm playing this out the way the Bible tells us. Eve ate. Right?
Yes.
But they didn't know they were naked then.
Not until he ate.
Come on.
Yep.
Follow me. True story.
No.
Eve ate. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't know they were naked until
Adam ate.
And then they realized they were naked. And I think naked means more than just, you know, everything is visible. But, you know.
Awareness.
It's almost like a shame before the whole of creation.
Yes.
A shame before everything that God had done up to this point. Do you think they knew what they did was wrong?
Yeah,
because Adam knew the truth.
That's
yeah.
The whole truth.
He did. And we'll see that too.
Yeah. She didn't know exactly the whole truth, but he did. So.
But when they ate, they were immediately spiritually dead.
When Adam ate, they were immediately spiritually dead.
Yeah. And that made the difference in what, because before that, he walked
Absolutely. God. It says their eyes were opened, and you know, you would think that would sound good, wouldn't you? But that's not good at all, is it?
Not that opening.
Because to some degree, if he said you shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, because when you do, you shall know good and evil. So at that point, their eyes were open to good and evil. Mm-hmm.
To evil, because they already knew.
Or the difference of good and evil, right? Man, all right. So she eats the fruit, she gives it to him. All of a sudden, right? You're naked. Yeah. Cover yourself. So what happened there? I know their eyes were opened, but I always wondered what happened. I know what happened. I know they sinned, and I know they were disobeying God, and I know he said when you do, your eyes will be opened and you shall surely die. But there's something that took place there. You know what I'm saying?
Shame.
Let me put up a couple verses and you'll see what direction I'm going here. All right, so are we created in God's image?
Yes.
Are we created in God's likeness?
Yes.
All right. Let me put these two verses up here. Verse Psalms 104:2. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment.
Correct.
You following? You see where I'm going with that?
Yes.
Yeah. We're made in the creation of God in his likeness, in his image, right? There he was transfigured. This is where Jesus was transfigured before the three, if you remember. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as the light. So what I'm looking at here, and what I'm thinking is a possibility, is
the
that
light went out.
The righteous covering that God had given them was no longer there. The light went out. The night the lights went out in Georgia, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
But this is Eden. So it just may be that they had this. We're created in his image, created in his likeness. They might have had this light as well. Then all of a sudden when they eat, and sin is a darkness. And holiness and righteousness is a light. So it's very possible here that because their eyes were open and now they could see, it's because the light had disappeared.
I equate it to like growing up very innocently, small town. Right, you're protected and shielded, and then you go to a big city, right? And they're like, "Oh my God!" Or go to Mexico, go to some foreign country, right?
That's why, Tracy, that pastors' kids are the worst.
Yeah.
Because man, they're covered all that time. They're sheltered and all that stuff, and then once they get of age, man, they say, "Wow, this great big world out here."
Yeah.
Don't do it. Let them know, man. Let them get a little taste. Let them learn their own lessons. Come on.
Yeah.
You and I both know, especially if you're of any age at all, the only way you learn is
on your own.
Through failure, trying and failure.
Get some on you.
But wait a minute, man. You know, they told me what to do and what not to do. Yeah, but.
Did you listen?
No.
No.
Don't touch the stove, it's hot.
Huh?
Yeah, don't pee on the electric fence.
Only guys would do that.
Say, whatever happened here, though, when their eyes were open, things definitely looked different, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't look different, as Miss Bev said. They looked much, much worse.
Well, the darkness. I mean, when you've had the light of God and His glory, and then He's not there.
Well, and that's all they knew before that.
Exactly.
I'm pretty impressed with them that they went and found some fig leaves and sewed them all together to cover themselves. They were pretty intelligent, so they knew what they were doing. I can picture them.
Beginnings of the fashion industry.
Beginnings of the fashion industry. Yes. You know, I was looking up, so I wanted to look up fig leaf, and it says in its description that it was kind of a very hairy, prickly type of leaf.
Wow.
So, but I'm thinking too that this is in the garden before the thorns and the thistles and all that, so it probably wasn't, you know. But they went and sewed them together and put them on, though, didn't they? So what were they doing when they did that?
Hiding.
Shame.
Shame.
Covering their shame.
trying to cover their own sin. You ever done that?
Yep.
Well, I want you to know it didn't start with you. It started way, way back, way, way back in the beginning. All right, Spurgeon says this. Their hearts must have been sorely perplexed within them while they were waiting to see what God would do to them as a punishment for this great sin they had committed. Think about that. Because in this next verse, what are we going to see? They're hiding.
Yep.
Where are you?
They're hiding.
They didn't know what death was. So when he said you will surely die, they had no idea what that meant. As far as
what
it felt like or what it, you know what I'm saying? There was no precedent to that.
Yes, but that was part of it, right? Their eyes being open. Part of that death was their eyes being open. And here in verses 3, 8, and 9, let's look at that. And this is where Adam and Eve is going to hide from him, and God's going to call out to him. What's he going to say, Don?
Where are you?
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, who did he call to?
Adam.
Where are you? Where are you? So Adam and Eve were in the garden, and when they heard the Lord coming, I mean, they knew he would want to be with them because that's why he came into the garden, is to be with them. So they had a close, intimate, personal relationship with Adam and Eve, don't you think?
That's why you created them.
Yeah. So, you know, he knows he's when he's coming into the garden, he's coming to be with them. Because that's what he does. Isn't that cool, though? That relationship they had in the garden pre-fall, that we're going to have that again one day?
Amen.
Huh? Man. All right, I'm gonna make an assumption here. I'm going to assume that this person walking in the garden is God.
Yeah.
In the person of
Jesus.
And you say, well, why are you going to make that assumption? Let me explain to you. And I believe this was before, you know, obviously before his incarnation and his what he did in Bethlehem, his birth in Bethlehem. In John 1:18, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Now, if John can make the statement here, no one has ever seen God, here's what we got to ask ourselves. Does that go all the way back to the garden?
Of course.
Well, it doesn't say since this day.
No one. Are you following me, though?
It says no one.
Let me read you another verse from 1 Timothy. We covered this as well. God, the blessed Father and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is mortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. So Paul is making this statement many thousands of years later, about, and he says, no one?
Yep.
Does that include Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
How do they walk in the garden with him without seeing him?
Because it was the person of Jesus Christ before the incarnation.
But it doesn't actually say in Genesis that they saw him. They heard him, they walked with him, but did they see him?
I mean, if you walk with somebody, chances are you're going to see him.
Chances are, we can assume that, that's assuming.
No, I don't think that's assuming at all. They absolutely walked
it
together.
It doesn't actually say word by word they saw him. That's all I'm saying. They probably did. It was probably Jesus. I'm just saying, but I don't like to take things.
Well, when you take the entire biblical scripture and you put it all together and you understand that in the end, after everything is said and done, we'll be with him. He will fellowship and dwell among he will dwell with us. Then if he's restoring something that was lost, it would be that same type of
relationship.
And if there wasn't someone there, they would not have had to hide themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Well, he definitely saw them.
Yeah. And it's generally, if you can see somebody, they can see you. Generally speaking. All right, so that's why I think it was the person of Jesus Christ, you know. You can think whatever you want, but
makes sense.
I was curious, how about Exodus 33:20?
Oh, you mean when he was up on the mountain?
Yeah, it says, no human can see God's face.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen. So even up on the mountain on Mount Sinai, when he was getting the law and the commandments and everything, remember what he said? He said, I will turn my back to you.
Because you can't.
Yep. Because you can't look on me and what?
Live.
And Moses probably spent the most time with God.
Yeah.
But all in these first verses, it says, God walked with them. God did this. Lord, God did this.
Well.
His light might not have been as bright for them because he was made in their own image. But after the sin and everything, God showed his whole power. He might have not had to show his whole power because they were good. But since they were sin, maybe they didn't have to.
That's a reach.
Yeah. Jesus is God.
But yes, he is.
Remember what he said in John 14:9? He told Philip, Jesus. Hey, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right, exactly.
And then John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one.
But
so,
it might have been Jesus at the beginning, but God to the end.
You know what, you guys, we've been doing Revelation on Wednesday night, you remember? Remember when John is called up to heaven through the open door, which we picture as the rapture? You remember his description of the throne?
Yep, God and Jesus.
Yeah, but he never gives us a description of God.
No.
Nope.
He just talks about the colors and the light and the rainbow and all that. And he tells us about the Lamb who's standing there with God, but he never gives us the description
of the Father.
You know.
Indescribable.
I just want to be with him one day, and I think, that one day
shall be revealed.
I won't be, human then, so maybe.
We won't ask him questions.
All right. Adam and his wife hid themselves. So this shows that Adam and Eve knew that their attempt to sew together fig leaves and hide their sin had failed. Because if they thought it to any degree that it worked, they just walk up to the Lord. Hey, Lord, how you like my new stuff? Right? But they covered it all up, and they still went and hid. Am I right?
Yeah.
So they kind of knew that covering, well, it was pretty inadequate. It was pretty inadequate. When they're hiding there, I know they're, do you think they're embarrassed a little bit shamed?
Yeah.
Guilt? Oh, yeah. There was none of that.
No remorse.
Well, because the fruit was of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
So they were completely aware of what they'd done.
Their flesh has been revealed to them.
Yes. They died right there.
Yep.
They died. Not physically, of course, but...
They started dying.
Yes. Spiritually, yeah. Yeah. All right. Where are you? Adam, where are you? To be more specific. So, when I read that, I don't read it like, Adam, like my mom used to say to me, where are you? No, I don't read that as an angry God. I read that as a loving a father.
Because he knows what's
happening. Adam, Adam, where are you? Right? And he didn't say that because he didn't know where they were. That's not why he said it at all, because God obviously knows where they are.
More like, why are you hiding from me?
Why
do you think you are?
Yeah, and he's going to get more into that into the next verse when he actually says, hey, have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to?
What have you done?
All right. Where are you? But something happened right here. I want you to understand. Something happened here that God knew that was going to happen because, our God knows everything. But here, there is a separation that is realized. You understand what I'm saying? There is a gulf that has been manifested now. There is a canyon or whatever. And it is right here that we see God's first part of God's plan is what I'm trying to say. Because he knew at this point, not that he didn't know before this, but now it's realized that God would one day have to step out of heaven and come to earth and to bridge that gap and that separation that had just been made.
Amen.
He knew that. He knew that. But he had a plan for that, didn't he?
Yep.
The perfect plan, matter of fact. And this question, where are you? I think it shows that God seeks after lost man.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it screams.
Right? That's what it screams. Where are you? Man. At the same time, though, it expresses accountability.
Yeah.
Or the accountability for man toward God. Where are you? Where are you? Man, I want you to think about this. The way that Adam and Eve, the way that God came to Adam and Eve, so he already knows, right?
Yes.
And he's walking in the cool of the day, he's walking in the garden, and he's saying, where are you? You know what I got thinking about that? That's the same thing he said to me 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
That's the same thing he said to you. He might have not have used those exact words, but make no mistake about it. Part of his plan was to get you to see where you were.
Absolutely.
And where you were, where it was going to lead you. And then show you the other side of it. Am I right?
I think he still says that to us when we try to hide in our sin.
Sure, sure.
When we've made that
absolutely
separation from him.
But can you identify where are you with when God called you and you got saved?
Yes.
Can you now identify where are you with all the times he called you and you didn't listen?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for not giving up.
Amen.
Because I was hiding. I'm a good hiding seeker. Amen. I was hiding deep in my sin, brother. But man, I guess if he puts you in a place where you listen, you'll finally listen.
But you can't hide from the light.
Huh?
You cannot hide from the light.
No, you can't hide from the light. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm-mm. But you can walk away from
the light. All right. So here where God comes in and starts confronting Adam and Eve with their sin. All right. So he said, this is Adam, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, of course I did. And I'm sorry. And I'm never going to do it again. Yep. I promise, Lord. I repent.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
Is that what he said?
No.
He said, the woman that you gave me.
The blame yeah game.
But God, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Huh? My.
He's blaming God. He's saying, this woman that you gave me.
The first thing that I see there, man, is that sin makes Adam and Eve afraid of God's presence and afraid of God's voice.
Yeah.
I want you to let that sink in for just a second.
Yes.
Sin makes Adam and Eve afraid of God's presence and afraid of God's voice. In other words, they don't want to hear it. Sometimes when we're in our sin, even now, we don't want to hear God's voice either. We don't want to have God's presence because, man, that's the light shining in a heart that has become dark.
Yep.
Amen? Man! All right.
This is played out, too, in a lower level. We have in our kids. When our kid walks away from our authority and goes into sin, they also don't want to talk to us anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't want to hear it.
You are correct, man. You know,
so
when I was in my sin,
it breaks that relationship between child and parent because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to show up at my mom's house because, you know, I was ashamed and embarrassed. You know, I knew what I was doing was wrong and stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I thought my parents were wrong.
Yeah. No, I knew. No, I was old enough in my sin to know that I was the one wrong and stupid.
For sure.
You were a step bed. I eventually got there.
But doesn't this apply to even today that sin keeps people from wanting to embrace God or have God's presence or
to
hear the voice of God?
I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not good enough to.
Yeah.
God doesn't want me.
Yeah. That's all a lie. That's all a lie.
Yeah, Satan's got you.
Man. Who's the third person in this?
Huh?
Who's the third person?
What do you mean?
Who told you that you were naked?
Satan.
Yeah. I mean, sin told him.
He knows
who told him. He's just asking them.
I think it's a rhetorical question, to be honest with you. Because to be honest with you, who told you were naked? Well, God had told him when you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So it was really God who told him. Yeah. He's the one that laid down the principle of the spiritual law, right? When you do this, this is going to happen. Your eyes are going to be open. Yeah. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. But I don't think the serpent said, ha, 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 I got you, you're naked.
Nope.
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, it's like, how did you know you were naked?
Because they lost God's life. Yeah, because they lost, you know, the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
My study notes is really good. It says, have the courage to share all you do and think with him, and don't try to hide it. It can't be done. Honesty will strengthen your relationship with God. Just be honest.
Yeah, it's amazing that we sometimes talk to God and we leave something out or we forget something or we do it and we think because, you know, he don't know about it.
Yep, we're not ready to confess.
Or we don't have the guts.
Man, you got some growing to do. Yeah. You might as well just spit it out.
Come on.
You know, lay it on the table. Say, Lord, here it is. Bam, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Help me with this right here because this is whooping me.
Yep.
And that's where pride has to be set aside.
Yep. Yeah, but, and listen too, man. God, remember, he knows your heart.
Yes.
So if your heart really don't want to change, he's not going to help you. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
He's not.
He's a gentleman. He goes, not where he's at.
If you really want it, and he'll give you over to the lusts and desires of your heart.
And you can be completely honest.
Yeah, you can be, Lord, I'm just not ready yet.
Yeah. Help me.
Give me
a desire.
Yeah, help me be ready. Help me give me that desire.
Man, and you see these two verses, and, you know, you see the full picture of sin right here.
Yeah.
You see fear. You see shame.
Yeah.
You see unrepentance.
Yes.
I mean.
You see fall. Yeah. You see hiding. You see,
blaming others.
Don't leave that one out. The devil made me. He made me do it.
But no repentance.
But nope. Don't you think he's giving them the opportunity?
Yeah.
That's what
these
questions are about, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'll try to point that out to you as we go. But he's just giving them, he's giving them an opportunity to repent.
Yeah.
He really is. This was an opportunity to repent. But instead he said, the woman that you gave me, she's the one that gave it to me. And
he
I ate
it.
The
woman that you gave me. Lord, I ate it.
Yeah. He just as easily could have said,
how come you gave me that woman that, caused me to sin?
All right. So Adam doesn't come clean, even though he had an opportunity to come clean. Instead, he just blamed it on the woman, right?
Well, just wait. She's going to do the same.
All right. So, you know, when I was reading that, I was remembering something, and I want to share that with you, because do we all sin?
Yes.
But do you know when we do sin and when we do genuinely, sincerely repent, that when we do that, that actually brings glory to God?
Amen.
You understand? What is our number one purpose, Pat?
To bring honor and glory to our Lord.
Ever increasing glory to our God. That is, since the day we got saved, if you can live by that principle, because you'll always measure anything you're going to think, do, say, or whatever by that principle.
Everything else
will it line. Glorify my God, you'll make a whole lot better decisions. Because that is your primary responsibility now that you've been saved, is to bring ever-increasing glory to our God.
I try to tell the kids in Sunday school, whatever you're saying or doing, if you look over and you see the Lord beside you, Jesus, is he smiling or is he grieved on what you've said or what you're doing?
Amen. All right, I want to read something to you just to prove that point to you. In Joshua chapter 7, you guys remember that? They've already conquered Jericho, but God told them when they conquered Jericho that you couldn't take any of the treasures, anything, because it all belonged to him. You were put in his storehouse. And if you remember, anybody remember why all that stuff went to God?
Because that was the first fruits.
Because that was the first battle, the first city in the promised land, the land of Canaan. And always the first fruits go to God. But there's this guy named Achan.
Achan.
He thought, oh man, this little bit, these three little things, they won't hurt. So he took them and he put them under his tent, buried them under his tent. Remember?
Yeah.
And then they went on to fight the next battle, which would have been Ai.
And Joshua
says, man, that's not a very fortified city, and there's not very many people there, so we won't send very many soldiers. Well, they went there and they got shellacked.
Yep.
And then, you know, Joshua spent that whole day and night on his face before the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. And the Lord says, there's sin in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that story, right?
Yep.
And then when God shows him who it was by Lot, right? In Joshua 7:19-20, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling me. Give glory to the God, your God and my God, the God of heaven and earth, the only God, right? And by making confession to him, because he knows already.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me now what you have done and do not hide it from me. That's a beautiful story too there, by the way.
Yep.
All right. God says, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Man, God confronts the problem head on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Love that.
He always does. That's why he does it. Now, they got a wardrobe deal, and they got other things going on here, right? But they're afraid, and they're hiding. But none of that could be addressed until the root of it was addressed.
That's right.
And the truth is, when God will address the root of it, all the rest of it will take care of itself. Am I right?
Yes.
You remember what I always tell you? Man, sin is a powerful thing.
Yes.
It is a powerful, powerful thing. And what we generally do, man, is, you know, when we beat it, sometimes we'll just cut it off. Right? We'll just cut it off at the surface. And it might work for a month, a year, 10 years. But listen to me. If you don't pull that sin out by the root,
yeah,
I promise you,
it will return.
Not only will it return,
stronger.
But it's going to be even stronger than it was before. You got to pull it up by the root. And who's going to help you do that?
God.
God is going to help you do that. We'll see a picture of that in the next service, matter of fact.
Yeah.
You guys are reading ahead. All right? All right. So then the man said, notice at this point he has not yet addressed Eve at all. Am I right?
No.
So Adam being the head, he is the problem here, and that's why God is addressing Adam. So the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me the tree, and I ate. So Adam is attempting to blame Eve here. Am I right?
Yeah.
Think about that, because that's completely consistent with human nature and mankind. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and kind of, because he inadvertently blames God.
Yeah, he's blaming God,
woman,
really.
You gave me.
That's right. And I don't even know if he realizes that or not. But not only is he blaming, trying to put the blame on Eve, but he is absolutely also placing the blame on God, because it was God
who made her and gave her to
him. Who said, hey, it's not good for you to be alone. I need to make you a suitable helper, comparable helper. So he put him to sleep, took him out of his, took a rib out, made that woman. And now he's blaming not only her, but God himself, man.
Well, we're no different today.
No.
As long as we can find somebody besides us to blame it on, it doesn't matter.
This is human nature, right?
Yeah. Yes.
This is human nature right here. This is human nature, to blame somebody, anybody.
Lord, anybody.
Why did you make this happen? Why did you allow this to happen?
Yes. And you know,
we still do that today.
People wonder why, you know, how David could do all the things that David did and still be a man after God's own heart. It's because he never tried to blame anybody else.
No.
You remember when Nathan came to him and told him about his sin? Does anybody remember what David said?
Surely this man must die.
Yeah, but I mean, what he said to Nathan, he said,
I have sinned against you.
I have sinned against the Lord, and him only.
Yes.
Have I sinned against. Man, it was a bam, repentance like that. Just a quick, I should have, blah, 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 blah. No, he just did it. But notice when he realizes his sin, and sometimes he stays in it for a while, amen, like a year and 4 months. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah.
You're right.
Chapter 20.
But man, when he realizes it, he's out.
Reminds me of the Christian man and woman praying at the foot of the bed that the Lord would take temptation away from them. He didn't take that temptation away, you know, like he promises to take temptation away. So they felt like he approved of their premarital mess around.
No, they didn't look for the exit.
No.
About that?
But they blame God.
How about the door? The big, big exit. You know?
How about the word of God, which clearly tells you what I want?
Maybe
they
go into the room with
them. Oh, all right. Eve's reply to the Lord, to God. He finally addresses Eve here in verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, why is this? What is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
She followed the pattern of her husband.
Did she, though? Because when Adam, when confronted by God here, Eve doesn't necessarily shift the blame. She says, hey, she admits. She's absolutely admitting, look, Mary, hey, I was deceived.
To me, that's just truth.
That is truth. He deceived me, and I ate. So she isn't really shifting any blame. She's not even saying, hey, it's the serpent's fault. She's just saying, I was deceived by the serpent and I ate. Amen. You know, that you can use that in your prayer time if you're sincere and genuine about it. Lord, I was deceived by the whatever, right? And I participated, thought, whatever.
I believe this lie. And
yes,
I that.
Yes. That we're going to get to that too, because I think that's a big problem. That's part of the problem. All right, deceived me. So the problem comes when we fail to see that we're being deceived. Am I right?
Yeah.
So if we fail to see that we're being deceived and we sin, is it sin?
Yes.
I didn't word that right. It was too easy. Huh? Dang it.
If we give in,
I should have said, if we are deceived and we give in, is it still sin?
Yes.
Yes. And who's at fault?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If you believe that you weren't deceived and you give in, then you're still in the dark.
Let me show you what's happening here, because we know the story, the Adam, the Eve, I mean Eve, the tree, the serpent, deception, and all that. Let me read, and it's the context here in Romans chapter 1 is the wrath against sinful humanity. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised.
Amen.
Amen. So isn't that what happened here?
That's exactly what happened.
If she had the truth, am I right?
Yeah.
She knew, hey, man, we can eat from every tree, but in the tree in the midst of the garden, we should not eat from that, because if we do, we should not touch it, but if we do, we should die. She had the truth, but she traded it
for a lie.
And when that happens, then you will give into, or God will give you over to, your desire.
All the more to know the truth.
All the more to know the truth. Listen to what James says in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just hear it.
Do it.
Because if you only hear it, you are deceiving yourself. Do what it says, and when you do what it says, you'll know you have not been deceived.
That's also in James, being hearers only.
Yes. Yes. This is what the
That's
NIV
the,
says. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
All right. Do we got time for the serpents? No.
Yeah.
I mean the curses?
Yeah.
No,
we don't.
Don't do it. That's a good part.
No, I have three. Oh, golly. No. I still have 8 pages left. Don't think we're going to get through that. Are you in a hurry?
No.
I can just read it. We can go on.
No.
That was a test, man. That was a test. You passed it.
You can read it and then just set us up. For
so the curse upon the serpent. What is the serpent's curse?
Belly crawl.
All the days of his life. Huh?
Dust.
Eating dust.
So did he tell him that he would for all the days of his life, he would crawl on his belly?
Yeah.
Boy, do I got something to share with you there, man. For real. I'm going to prove to you that what God said there was absolutely true, and I'm going to go to the new heaven and the new earth and the new creation when the man will sit down with the lion. Come on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you there where the serpent, the snake, God still says, and you shall eat the dirt for your food. Even in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm going to prove it to you. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet y'all didn't know that.
Nope.
Huh?
All the days.
All the days meaning forever, eternity. And God kept that promise even in eternity, even in the new heaven and the new earth. Yeah, I'm going to prove it to you. There's no other way to interpret it. Amen?
You don't have to prove it.
Yeah, I do have to prove it.
I believe you.
Don't believe me.
No, show us.
Show me. I'm from Mississippi.
Show,
is that the show me state?
Show me state.
No, that's Missouri.
Oh, I'm from Missouri. What is Texas then?
No, no,
Oh, come and take it. Oh.
Can we pray?
Huh?
Can we pray?
Why?
No, let's pray.
No, you do it.
Okay, I'll do it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for just your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for knowing everything and knowing our hearts. I ask that you just move in our hearts today. Help us to hear, and not just hear, but to do what your word says. And I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you today.
Today.
I pray for our children, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts to come to you as well. And we just love you. We praise you. And we just lift you high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.